Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Sometimes problems that arise between humans and animals are so complex. It's nice to be able to reduce them to just a few basic concepts to kind of narrow our focus so we don't get sidetracked too much. One of the best ways to do this is to look at what's going on in terms of the energy it costs the participants. How much does this interaction cost the animal? How much does it cost the owner? In terms of human-canine interactions and aggression, the dog that goes berserk when the doorbell rings, the dog that runs the fence barking and snarling, the dog who is constantly growling and warning anytime someone gets near, and then snapping, it's costing those dogs a lot. Compare those dogs to the dogs that are really quite cool. They're quite calm. They stand there, they move easily. You don't look at them and see those big black holes because the pupils are dilated in fear. These dogs are relaxed. Their pupils are normal size. Unfortunately, the animal who expends a lot of energy in protective displays is often considered a more hardcore criminal than the one who's totally relaxed and just bites someone seemingly without warning. But in fact, more often than not, it's the other way around. The animal putting in more energy is more stressed. And in my experience, the more stressed the animal, the more the animal has to gain by making any changes that relieve that stress. Compare that to the dog who isn't that much stressed by those circumstances that result in aggression. That animal is going to be harder to turn around. He's going to be more resistant to change because it may cost him more energy to change than to stay just the way he is. And the same thing holds true on the human side of the equation. How much energy are these people going to have to put into making these changes versus any beneficial changes in the dog? Now, you would think that in a case of aggression, that just the thought of moral or legal obligations relative to anyone who might get bitten would be enough. But in some cases, it isn't. For example, we have all those dogs out there who don't like men or they don't like little kids. And if the men they don't like happen to be someone that the dog's owner doesn't know or doesn't care about or whose behavior they can somehow construe as being negative toward the dog, then it may not be worth those people's energy to change the dog's behavior. Similarly, those whose dogs don't like little kids, if they live a lifestyle where they don't encounter any small children, then the problem isn't worth the energy it would take to resolve it. It's much easier not to have the dog around men or little kids, or so they think. And sometimes it works. Sometimes they do manage to muster a lifestyle where they never have to have any repair work done on their homes. They never have a fire or need for emergency service that would require the presence of men to help them. Or in the process of meeting someone else, their own family expands and there are kids in that family. And they want to enjoy family holidays, and they want to have their new family come and visit them. And all of a sudden, there's this dog who doesn't like kids. In terms of energy efficiency, prevention is always best. So in the next week or so, pay attention to how much energy your relationship takes with your animal. not only how much energy it takes you, but how much energy it takes that dog or that cat to please you. And ask yourself if it's balanced. Ask yourself if there's any way that you could help that animal change stress-related behaviors that are making his or her life unnecessarily complicated. And ask yourself if you could change some of your own behaviors, which in the long run might make things easier for the two of you too.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.